Good morning. Sorry for the tears. It's tears of joy. You know, by God's grace, the 27th of this month, I'll be 81 years old. I remember before I met my wife, Judy, I used to preach 3-4 times on Sundays. And during the week, I'm doing this since 1968. Got saved at 8 years old. Went away from the Lord. Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, you beautiful sisters and brothers who sung this song. All my life, He has been faithful. When my brother and Sue read that they rejected Samuel because he was too old, I sat and I said, maybe some people reject me because I'm too old. But you know something? God never stops using you. If you're willing for Him to use you, He will use you. And I went to say something to you this morning. My leg, as you see, I'm hopping up here. The ankle broke in 3 places. That was in January. And some people say it would take me 2 years to recover. But thank God I have you, dear sisters and brother, praying. And here I am today. If you see me grab that stool, don't think I'm a lazy preacher. The foot just tired, and I have to use that. Pastor Gary, my beloved brother, says to me, Guy, when you're preaching, try to avoid the tears. My dear brother, I cannot. When I think of the goodness of God, amen. You young people, I'm saying to you this morning, if you want to have real life, trust Jesus. And stay with Jesus. He's your guide. He's your father. He's your friend. He's everything to you. And I tell you about Jesus. When you decide to go astray, He's not going to let you do that. If you're really His child, He's going to bring you back to the fold. Because many times, as a young man, I tried to say, I have enough of this. I'm going out to enjoy the world some. But instead, the good Lord had me and pride back to His fold. And I'm thanking Him. All my life, He has been faithful. He has never let me down. Well, as you see, what we are going to talk about today is your choice. The message today is choose the living God. Your choice, my choice, is to choose our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and follow Him. He'll never let you down. Israel, forget one thing. They forgot their history. And when you forget your history, you are in danger. Because you have to know history to not to repeat the mistake of history. When you forget history, you repeat the mistake of history. And what Israel was saying, when they look at the other nations, they say, we want a king to lead us like the other nations. Israel forget one thing. They were not like the other nations. They were a special group of people who God chose for himself to lead them to the promised land. They were the light of the world. But Israel says, I want to be like the other nations. They are stepping way down when you want to be like the other nations. In saying that, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, you are God. You have chosen us. You have given to us everything that we have. We pray, Lord, that as we seek to worship you today, that your Holy Spirit will move across your people in this congregation. We pray that the one who is speaking, that you will crucify him and let you shine through him, and that your word will go out in all power of the Holy Spirit. And those who know you today, the Heavenly Father, will rejoice. And those who do not know you will come to know you. Father, we pray that you take full control of this service. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to speak briefly on the fact of what happens to Israel. Israel says, as I said before, I want to be like the other nations. Israel could never be like the other nations because God Almighty is their father. God Almighty is their king. God Almighty is their leader. But the problem that we have is that Samuel, who was a righteous leader, leading the children of Israel, he was old. And when Samuel got old, I see a problem here. Samuel made his sons judges. I don't know if Samuel had examined the lives of his two sons. Because, you see, God's work is not nepotism. You have to be called by God. The Spirit of God should fill your heart for you to surrender to the true and living God. And Samuel should have examined his two sons and see if these two sons are really people who wants to follow God, or there were people who are looking for filthy lucre. They were looking for the things of the world. So these people who forget their history, where God is taken and took them from, were looking to Samuel and his two sons. When you have ministers in the church or leaders in the church, you're obeying the leaders, but at the same time, you're not following the leaders, you're following God. That's who you're supposed to follow as Christians. You're supposed to look beyond the leaders. Pray for the leaders, because leaders can fail. You follow the true and living God. But what they did, they were looking at Samuel, and they're looking at Samuel's two sons. And Samuel's two sons, all they were interested in what they could get to put in their bank, their kitty bank, or whatever you call it. They want all the filthy lucre that they could get, and they were stealing and not living the life that God calls them to live, to lead his people. So when I read this passage, I could not do anything more than weep, because I noticed the great love of God for his people. When Samuel says to them, they say to Samuel, "We need kings like the other nations." It displeases Samuel. So Samuel went and he listened to them, and he went to God. And God says, "Samuel, listen to me. Give these people everything that they ask you for. But please forewarn these people." My brother here read the scriptures before. I don't want to repeat it per se. He said, "Forewarn them that this person who you are choosing to be king, he's going to take everything that is good from you, and what is going to happen, he's going to kind of leave you destitute." And they says to Samuel, "We don't care. We want a king like the other nations." I want you to read the passage for yourself. "We want to be like the other nations, of which you cannot be," as I said before. So God says to Samuel, "Samuel, tell them what the king is going to do." And I was talking to my brother Ansu, Pastor Ansu, before. I say, what disturbed me about this when I read it is that it says, they will take, the king will take, he will take, he will take, he will take. There is nowhere in here where it says this person is going to negotiate with you. This person is just coming in and bully you and take what they want from you as your leader. That's what the scripture says. God said he will take, he will take, he will take, he will take. They said, "We don't care. Give him to us." Now, you are, or we are, or Israel are, rejecting security for insecurity, of which I'm going to show you in the scripture. When you choose a king like yourself, remember, the scripture says, it is appointed to man once to die. It says also, for all have sinned. It says also, none of us is righteous. It says also that none of us is good. That's a scripture. And everything that I just said, it says God is good, God lives forever, God is righteous, God is holy. Everything about God is permanent. But the king that you are choosing, and I am choosing, we will choose, or whoever Israel chose, this person is going to deteriorate, because he's a human being like ourselves. Let us stop and turn from Samuel, the first chapter of Samuel, and let us turn to Job, and see what God says when Job questioned him. Let us see what God says to Job. Job, with all his problems that he had, begin to talk to God how he was having a hard time. And God says to Job, Job, you know what you do for me, Job? Answer me, Job, with all of the situation that is going on in your life. Here is it where God is talking to Job. Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 6. Job started to talk to God about his problem. And God says to Job, answer me these questions, Job. And I'm saying to each one of us this morning who are seeking not to follow the true and living God, answer these questions. This is what he said to Job in Job chapter 38, 46. And he says to Job, when Job asks him the question, he says to Job, Job, answer me this question. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He's asking Job. Tell me if you have understanding. So what am I saying to you? The king that they're asking for do not even understand this simple question that God is asking Job. Where were you when I lay the foundation of the world? So God is saying to Job, you are nowhere to be found. And then he said, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretches out the line upon it? He's saying, with all the creation that you're looking at, Job, answer me this question. Who laid the foundation? Who do the measurement of the foundation? And he went on to say in verses 6 of Job 38, 46, and to what is the foundation fastened to? What it holds, what holds it? Or who lays its cornerstone? Now, I can tell you for sure, Job could not answer this question. Neither could you or I. Because the problem is this, when God did his work, when God laid the foundation, none of us were there. So God, we owe everything to God. That's what he's saying. You owe the very breath that you breathe every day belongs to God. And you have to understand that. We owe God everything. So when you or you find somebody who is greater than God and can answer these questions, then you serve that person. But as of now, you choose the true and living God. He is a God who is a builder. He's a God who sustains. He's a God who cares about you and I. And he's a God who do not need anything from you and I. That's who we're supposed to serve. Job could not answer the question. So here's it. The God that I serve, and I want to let you know something this morning. I'm not telling you about a person I do not know. I am not talking about a person who I do not know. I'm talking about a person who I know personally, spiritually. This person lives in my heart. You know, one of the wisest men I see, or most intelligent men I see, was my dad. My dad was an engineer. And he hires a lot of people. And I remember when I was a boy, I went with him on one of the sites. Standing beside my dad, I was about 15 years old. And he was putting up a huge building. He has a man working up there. And he came in and he says, so, John, or whatever the man's name were, he says, this beam is off about an eighth of an inch. I never forget it. And the man argued with him and said, no, Mr. Minot, it's right. And my father says to him, drop a plumb line and give me the lever and throw me the lever. Those of you who does construction know what I'm talking about. And when he dropped the plumb line and the lever, and my father puts it on the line, it was an eighth of an inch off. And I said to myself, Dad is going to fire this guy now because he's arguing with Dad. And when I went home, Dad didn't fire him. I said, Dad, what happened to that man? He says, he's working. He says, he's foolish. But I look beyond him, and he has wife and children. That is, he's sustaining from this job. And if I let him go, that whole family will suffer. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sometimes when we do things that is wrong, and the good Lord comes to us and help us, he's looking beyond us. He's looking beyond us. And I'm saying Job could not answer the question. So here is the king that I'm giving to you this morning, the king that creates everything. That's the king you need. Then we want to take a look at the king who leads. You find that in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 through 22. You'll find that. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they sold themselves into Egypt, into slavery, because of jealousy. Because Joseph had his dream and told it to his brothers. And they cried out while they were in Egypt, and God came to their rescue. Egypt is a type of sin. God came to their rescue. And notice something in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 through 22. Notice something. What is a problem or a trouble to the unsaved is a blessing to you and I. That's the God I know. It doesn't matter your problems that you have today. It doesn't matter your failures that you have today. What does matter is how much are you trusting your King, the true and living God, because he can correct all your problems. If you notice in this group coming from Egypt, There were all kinds of people. It says a mixed multitude coming from Egypt with all their baggages of sin. But what makes them worthy of going to the promised land was because they obey God. The word of God says, he told the disciple, or told Moses them, whoever has the blood over his doorpost, that person, the angel of death, will pass over them, and they are ready to go to the promised land. You say, where am I going with this? Well, Jesus says to you, and Jesus says to me, it's only one thing let allow us to go to heaven, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ within our hearts. When he saw the blood, the death angel passed over them. When you go into heaven, or when you die, of which you will die, every one of us here will die one day. And the only thing that is going to make us worthy of heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. So we're going to look at the leading of God, leading his people from Egypt to the promised land. Verse 21 through 22 of Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them, that's the children of Israel, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before them, before the people. You hear what it says? Let me paint you the scenario of what's going on here. The children of Israel, they left Egypt. The Egyptians, or the Egyptian king, said, we make a mistake. We're going to take them back to Egypt because they are our slave. They have to plow our land. They have to do everything for us. No, we can't allow them to go. When the children of Israel went to the Red Sea and they saw the problem, they said, in their mind, they said, there's no hope here. The Red Sea before us, the Egyptians behind us, what are we going to do? And God says to Moses, put your rod across the Red Sea. It parted. They went through on dry land. Are you getting where I'm going here? When you have your problems and a situation that you think you can't conquer, or you think you can't get over, look up. Because God put the Red Sea, and they walked through it like they were walking down 295 through the Red Sea. But somehow, the Egyptians followed, and when they followed, they were all dead. God drowned them. The Red Sea came back together. They are no more. But this is happening before they get to the Red Sea. And if you notice what is happening here, in the night, God allows the pillar of cloud behind the children of Israel that creates darkness, so the Egyptians can't get close. And in the day, God moved the pillar of fire from before the children of Israel and put it behind them. So God, in the night, used the fire to lead the children of Israel, to give them light that they could travel. And the pillar of cloud to block the enemy. In the day, God reversed that. So what am I saying to you? It doesn't matter what your conditions are. God is protecting you 24/7. If you're a child of God, you know, when I broke my ankle, I went to the hospital, and the first thing came to my mind, poor me. Old guy, broken leg, he's finished. And then I remember the message I preached on November the 11th. In all things give thanks. I said, wait a second. Didn't I preach that message that I should be thankful for the broken ankle? I'm hooked up in pain, but at the same time, what is going on is that on my sick, dying bed, I'm leading people to Jesus. One nurse came in and she gave me a paper to fill out and said, what religions are you? Religion are you? I said, I have no religion. I said, I'm a born again Christian. She says, I want to know the difference. I say, hallelujah. So I was able to explain to her. She says, my time is up. I have to come back the next day. The next day she came back. And she said, I want you to finish. So I explained her the difference between religion and salvation. Then the doctor, after I leave the hospital, went to the recovery door, rehab. The doctor came one morning, and the pain is racking me. And I'm saying to him, I thank the Lord for today. And he said, I'm not in too much of a good mood today, the doctor. I'm not feeling too good. So I start to explain to him about the Lord God of heaven. He says to me, and these things I'm not telling you to say, oh, good guy is, because I'm not. I'm telling you how the Lord used you. So I start to explain to him about salvation. And he looked at me, the doctor, and he says to me, Rev, if you have not done any job before, you have done your work today. I feel much better talking to you. The rehab person says to me, when I meet people like you, it encourages us to do our job. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you don't sit around and nurse your wounds when you are dealing with Jesus. Every day is victory for you. And everything is victory for you. Because these people saw the Egyptians and they thought that we were finished. But amidst their problem that they had, God made a commitment to take them to the promised land. And God protect them in every form to take them to the promised land. Jesus made a commitment to you that if you trust him, he will lead you to the promised land, which is heaven. And no matter what is going on in your life, remember, Jesus made that promise. Amen. He will never fail you. No matter what's going on in your life. No matter the sins or whatever creeps up in your life, look up to him and repent and ask him for mercy. And he's always there to forgive you He's always there to love you. He's always there to guide you. And he's always there to shut your enemies up. That's who this person is. I know this person. He lives in my heart. You know, in Psalms 90, it says, my limit is 80. And if by reason, I may go on a little longer. Well, I'm on borrowed time. I'm 81, going to be 81. So I don't know when he may call or when he's going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. But whatever he does, I'm going to trust him until the day he pulls this breath out of my body. That's my Father. That's my friend. That's my God. That's my King. Who's your King? Who's your Father? Who's your friend? That's the Jesus I know. You don't need to be afraid of him. You need to run to him when you have a problem. You need to go seek him. He said, come as you are. That's what he said. Jesus says in his word, there is none that is good. And listen to the icing on the cake. He said, without him, we are nothing. So always remember this. Without Jesus Christ, we are really nothing. So everything I am is because of Jesus Christ. Everything I do, everything I get, as I said before, that belongs to Jesus Christ. And when you realize that, every day you will wake up and say, faith is a victory. Because Jesus lives in my heart. Remember, this is a God who created everything. I'm trying to point out the God that they were choosing and the God that we have chosen sometimes. I'm showing you the difference of these two gods. I went to the God who creates everything, the gods who lead. And I'm going to go now to Malachi 3:6. He says in Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, for I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O son of Jacob. He's talking to Israel, but at the same time, it applies to us. You hear what God says? God says he doesn't change. God says, when I told you I'm going to do something for you, it doesn't matter what you do, I am going to keep my promise. So what you need to do as children of God, believe God and keep your eyes on God, not on people. People change. People make promise to you and they change. People make promise to you and according to how you behave, they fulfill that promise. God is not that way. God made promise to you, and when you fail, he comes after you, and he lifts you up, and he brings you back to him, and he says, you're my child, and I'm not going to let you fail, because I love you. That's the God I know. He's not a changeable God. You didn't do good before for him to save you. So you're not doing good and for him to keep you. All you have to do is follow him. Trust him for who he say he is. That is where you have victory. You remember what he says to Mary and Martha when they came and said, my brother died? And Jesus says, he's not dead. And they keep talking. Jesus says, if you only believe. That's my father, I know. That's my friend. That's the one I'm looking forward to meet one day. My Lord and Savior. So this is a God who does not change. This is a God, not because you do something that you think, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I remember when you have polyester came in and high heel boots for men. You're too young, some of you too young to know that. And I used to dress in my tight pants and high heel polyester shoes. And they used to say to me, I don't think you're ready for heaven. And I used to say to them, I don't care. I'm going to dress the way I want to dress as a young person. Then, you see, oh, this head is bald. I had hair up here. And then I had a pick in the hair. And that made me cool. Well, today, the hair fell off. I went to the first time I went in the bathroom, and it was falling off. I hollered to my wife and my daughter. I'm combing, and when I'm combing, there were more hair in the sink than what in my head. And I said to my wife and daughters, I said, it looked like I have some kind of disease. All my hair is falling off my head. They said, no, Dad, that's the way it goes with men. So you see, things change. I used to run up these stages to sing and do what I do. Now I'm holding on to the rails. I used to walk big and strong. And once ago, I just get up and jump in my pants. Now I sit on the bed, 1 foot at a time. And I tell you something, after I lace up my shoes, I'm blowing so hard, it's like I climb a mountain. Life change. I used to run track and field as a youngster. I went and was preaching to some guys, said, the only thing I do now is I feel. You understand? So life is going to change. And when life change, what you need to do is to understand that you're on your way out. You're not here forever. This is why Jesus says, I gone to prepare a place for you. And remember, if Jesus says, I gone to prepare a place for you, and I just says to you, I point out to you that God says he's a God that does not change. Jesus cannot lie. He's preparing a place for you and I. So what we need to do is stop following people and follow the true and living God. We need to do that. Stop make people make choices for us. And whatever choices they make, let them keep making it. But you center your heart and your mind upon Jesus Christ, the true and living God. Because I can tell you for sure, if you get to my age by God's grace, and you know that your time is limited, you're not afraid of death. Because you see, to the unsaved, death is a tragedy. To the saved person, death is victory. Because we leave this body and we get a new body and we will be glorified with our Lord and Savior, and the angels in heaven will rejoice. The word of God says the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinners is saved. The God who does not change. Now we go to the God who do not share his glory. You find that in Isaiah 42 and verse 8. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, that's God speaking, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. So if God says that, my brothers and sisters, tell me, why are you trying to seek another God? Why are you trying to follow another God? Why aren't you following the true and living God? We should not be short people to sing in the choir. We should not be short people to teach Sunday school. We should not be short people to work in the pantry. We should not be short people to work in the church. Because you, when you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you want to do everything for him that he will allow you to do. And we want to praise him instead of praising ourselves and praising our surroundings. You know something? As I can remember, all these great leaders that came along, Hitler, Confucius, Pharaoh, all these great leaders, they are dead. And every one of them remain in the grave. But I tell you something, I found a leader by the name of Jesus Christ who they killed on the cross. And I can tell you something, if you go and look at his tomb, it is empty because he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he said to you, and he says to me, that he's going to take us one day. He will come back to receive us and take us to himself. And he's preparing a home for us. Where is your home? Where is your home? You tell me, where is your home? When you can tell me, where is your home? And you wake up every morning and praise God. Don't praise the cars. Don't praise the job. Don't praise your education. Don't praise your wife. Don't praise your children. Don't praise your government. Don't praise anything around you. Your praises belong to the true and living God. That's where your praises belong. To him and him alone. Choose the living King who says, I will never share my glory with any man. Pastor Ansu, come.
Praise the Lord. Choose the living God. Amen? In the time we live in, we need to choose the living God. Because it's confusing, and he's the only God that is focused and knows tomorrow, knows the future, knows everything about us than we ourselves. Amen? We want to praise God for his word that was brought forth. And if you're here today, you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, now is the time. Because if you don't know him, when that day comes, he will say, depart from me, because I know you not. Amen? Amen? But if you know, he will say, welcome, my sons, welcome, my daughters. You got a place right here on my right, on my left, and you're going to dine with him. Amen? As we prepare before going to our time of communion, let us look to the Lord and just pray. If you have any questions and need, you can see any of us, the deacons, and we can pray along with you. Father, we just want to thank you for your word that was brought forth, and we pray, Lord, that as your word have come forth, may it just speak to our hearts and know that you are the true and living God, and there is none like you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that even as we go daily, Lord, may we know that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And if we don't know you, if there's anyone here this afternoon who doesn't know you, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, may you just speak to their hearts, that they will come to know you personally and accept you as the living, true God. We thank you now, and we just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to go into our time of Lord's Supper, communion time. As our deacons come up, I want you to just prepare your hearts this afternoon and search your heart and just talk to God. And as Rosemary lead us through songs that would just bless our heart. Amen.
Thank you.
Did we get everybody? All right. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning from verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Amen? And God admonish us, do this in remembrance of me. Whenever we partake, we remember his body that was broken on the cross for us. At this time, we'll ask Deacon Dennis to just pray for the element of the prayer.
Let us pray. But before that, I just want to thank Reverend Manat for his sermon. A lot of things that was mentioned to the young people, you don't understand what pain is like. But we have a God that is so great that we can call on and he relieves our pain. Amen. So take it to heart. Your day will come prayerfully and you'll experience and be able to appreciate the love of our God. Amen. There is no greater God than our God.
Amen.
Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be able to stand before your throne, to be able to give praises and honor to you and only you, Father. Father, you're such a great God. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, not his, but ours. Father, there is no greater God than you. And I'm so happy that I know you and love you and that you love me, Father. I give all thanks and honor to you for all that you do for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Let us eat together. Amen. And in the same passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning from verse 25, it says that Paul mentioned that he said, "In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembering of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And as we celebrate, we tell in the word that Jesus lives. And he lives for us. Death couldn't hold him captive. The cross couldn't keep him there. But he resurrected. And we celebrate his death, his burial, and resurrection. And we have hope that tomorrow when he calls us, we're going to be with him in heaven. We'll ask Deacon Gordon Johnson to just pray for the element of that.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' life and that he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. He was sinless, Lord, but he died for our sins. And that we celebrate the third day when he rose again to give us eternal life if we but believe on his name. Mm-hmm. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me say one thing before we drink, right? It just came to my mind that if we just do this as a ritual, it have no impact on our lives. Amen. But we do this, why did he urge us to do it? He urged us to do it to remember him. Amen. Remember the sacrifice. It's not remembering coming every Sunday or first Sunday or just coming and just having communion. That's a ritual if we just remember what he did. Because he said, do this in remembrance of me, the price he had to pay. Amen?
Amen.
Let us drink together. Amen. And now we'll call on the praise team will just lead us into our closing song. Let us please stand together as the praise team lead us in.
I'm
as we go about this week, remember that He's your Savior. He's your God. And we need Him more than anything. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have victory in you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness that continue to just follow us each moment. As we go this week, Lord, may our hearts continue to seek you. May our mind focus on you, knowing that you are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Deliverer. And you are the way maker. We thank you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.